Three, two, one, podcast.
We're home.
Hello. We are back from our trip.
Where did we go?
All over. I've been everywhere, man.
Well, we went rounds.
We went to Mount Rainier a while ago, but we went
a few
to
weeks ago.
We went to Vancouver, BC this weekend.
Just got home.
Yep,
fresh off the boat. 20 minutes. It's awesome.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about those today. We're going to talk about our sunrise trip, and then after that, we'll get into Vancouver.
Sounds
just
good.
In case you want to fast forward.
Yeah.
In case we're really boring. Cut to the chase. You look a little tired yourself.
I'm a little tired, but I'll make it.
Yeah. We like talking about our trip.
Let's record history here. This, for our posterity.
Yeah, our podcast has kind of turned into a travel podcast.
Pretty much.
That's
the only time we ever get around to podcasting now.
Only after a trip. Remember.
Yeah, I remember. Time's passed.
Most definitely. So anyways, I had this idea, an epiphany. Not quite an epiphany. Epiphany is usually applied to like...
something great.
Yeah, like Jesus' birth or mm-hmm. second coming is also called the Epiphany.
Yes.
It wasn't that great.
No.
But it was a good idea.
It was.
It originated
after our trip to Northern Cascades National Park where mm-hmm. we were foiled by the campground and had to turn around and come home.
All right.
But we ended up with a good day trip, which we realized it's not so hard to do a day trip, actually.
I don't remember if we talked about North Cascades National Park.
I want to say we didn't, because it was a little frustrating, but it was nice.
Maybe we should give a couple minute talk about that first.
We did North Cascades over 4th of July weekend, actually one day of the weekend.
This is the least visited national park.
Yeah, it's not really a national park caliber, wow, amazing, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I
wouldn't come from another state to go to this one.
If you're in Seattle, I would go to it. I think if you actually were doing some serious hikes, I hear it's pretty good. But with little baby, we're not doing serious hikes. We're doing short hikes. But we had a nice little... the drive is pretty. Drive through the mountains.
Yes.
Drive through some little towns. We had a Buffalo Burger at Buffalo something or another restaurant, which had some sweet paraphernalia.
Had like a huge bear skin on the wall.
Huge bear skin and
had like a bison head.
Yeah.
That was in that last town right before we turned.
You could get elk, bison, buffalo, ostrich. Had some game.
They had Rocky. No, they did. Not Rocky Mountain, but North Cascades Mountain oysters.
You're kind of sad we didn't have them though, aren't you?
Sad and glad.
Okay.
I've had them before. I've had Rocky Mountain National, or whatever they're called. Rocky Mountain Oysters. I had them at Estes Park, Rocky Mountain National Park.
I don't like deep fried oysters, so I'm feeling I wouldn't like the deep fried.
They were prepared like oysters. Chicken nuggets with a little bit of cocktail sauce on the side. And it was one of the most difficult things I ever ate. I only ate maybe a couple of them.
But you just found out that you've eaten other gonads before.
Corey was prophetic.
The sea urchin is gonads, and we've eaten a lot of uni.
Yeah. Sea urchin, huh?
Yeah. Look uni. It up.
Yeah.
Oni. We've eaten a lot of uni.
You just watched that on your cooking show, right?
Yeah, I saw it on saw that the one cooking in show in BC. Yeah. Things you'll learn.
Right.
So
we went to the park. There's like one main section where the campgrounds are, and it's a lot hotter and arid in the park.
That was
than
a
Seattle.
Hot weekend too. It was 90s.
Yeah.
It was just deathly here.
So I would expect it to be hotter and drier there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of campgrounds that are right along the river lake area, and then you know when you get
those
into the park.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
First come, first serve, which you need to be there.
We went there on 4th of July, and it never fills up. Well, it does fill up. We had all our camping gear all packed up. We were all excited and got shut down at the North Cascades National Park campgrounds. And they don't even have a telephone, so you don't even know.
Yeah.
Like, we can't even call them up and say you're full because they don't have a telephone.
They didn't even know they were full when we got there, and they were full.
Yeah.
They're a little bit rustic for a national park.
She told me if you go down the river back towards Seattle for like 20 minutes and you turn right at some road, that there's like 6 campground sites that some dude has.
No, don't do it.
Down by the river. Well, thanks, lady. The boogeyman will get us.
We had a nice view of Diablo Lake and the mountains. We didn't see any life, which is disappointing. But we didn't get out too far into the mountains.
Yeah, if you drive over the little bridge or the dam thing after the campground and up the hill, there's some vistas of the Diablo Lake down below. And there's some really tall, jagged mountains that are really beautiful. They call it the Alps of America.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
And that's right.
There's supposed to be a trail with some old growth, but I couldn't find it. It might have been closed off.
I think it was closed.
There was some trails we saw that were off the road, but there was nowhere to park, so we couldn't have done that because we couldn't have hiked with Baby. Baby was really upset that
Baby's
day.
Baby's having a hard time.
She pretty much cried the whole way home.
So it was hard.
So North Cascades Park, it's like, if you're going to go do some backcountry camping, or you're going to stay there for several days and go do something out in the outdoors, it's probably worth exploring it.
It's a weekend.
It's not something that you can just kind of drive up there and expect massive beauty.
Yeah.
But there was one place, as we were leaving, there's like some waterfalls right off the path
that
we parked
at.
They had a nice little hike that allows you to hike down to see the power station. There's some mossy rocks and there's a vista. There's only like one place where there's a picture with a camera on it. A sign.
Scenic overlook kind
of
deal.
Yeah, as you're coming into the center of the park. And right there, there's like a rest area. It's not really clear that there's a path that goes behind the toilets for about a half a mile around, so you can see down at the power station. But because a lot of people are walking over the little mesh bridge to see the little waterfall stream that runs under the road. I don't know if you consider that gorge.
Yeah, we probably should move on. I don't think it's really that worthwhile.
Yeah, I agree.
We got a lot to talk about.
It's not as interesting as Sunrise, for example, which we decided just to take off. It's only a two-hour drive.
Yeah, two-hour drive.
From Bellevue.
There
you go.
To the lodge.
To the lodge at Sunrise. It was raining in Seattle, and it was really sunny there.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
So you really...
ideal weather.
You don't know what the weather's going to be there.
Yeah, apparently when you get up that high, the weather changes pretty quickly.
Tracy was looking for huckleberries.
I was. I had the wrong idea. For some reason, I thought huckleberry was a giant blueberry, but huckleberries are, like, tiny, and they're a lot darker. I saw them at Pike's Market the other day.
Yeah.
Apparently, they were all over, but I couldn't find them to save my life. But I did find them in the gift shop.
The Rangers, they're like, they're just right there. Right there, look. There. And we were like, I don't see anything. I don't see any huckleberries.
Huckleberry hound.
Huckleberry Finn. Gotta say it.
Yeah. Well, huckleberry jam is pretty good.
Yeah.
I had huckleberry ice cream too when we left, so that was nice.
So Sunrise is on the northeast side of the park of Mount Rainier. It is much more arid and dry, kind of like the North Cascades.
And sunny.
It opens up, I don't know if it opens up later in the season or not. It's a shorter season.
I think so.
There.
The season's pretty short.
It's the highest place you can drive on the mountain. It's like 6,400 feet is the lodge. Where Paradise is only like 5,400 feet. So there's several paths as you turn into Sunrise and start going up after you pay at the gate and you go up. And there's like some little waterfalls and things you drive over, tiny ones. That we saw a lot of hikers like pulled over to do the hikes that we didn't check out. But there is one place where after you've gone for like 15 minutes that there's like a bend and there's a parking spot right in the middle of the bend that we parked at, and you can see a lake if you look down, and there's a trail to some backcountry hiking, and you can see Mount Adams from there.
Right.
And Mount Rainier is just like eminent.
Huge.
You know, it's like the White Witch.
The White Witch, that's what I call her.
Yeah. So we stopped there for a while, and then we hiked up to the lodge, and they gave us some tips on the different trails. We asked two rangers.
Yeah, They're helpful.
Yeah, the first ranger gave pretty good advice, but she was just so wishy-washy when she gave it to me, I didn't trust her.
I was like, make up your mind, ranger. That's why you're here.
Yeah. So we went into the lodge, and she recommended going through the meadows by the lake.
Yeah.
Was it Shadow Lake?
Shadow Lake.
Up to this glacier viewpoint, glacier overlook, which is just at the very edge of the meadows going up the mountain. And it does have like a little bend before it gets really rocky, and then you can see the mountain. I would say that would be the easiest trail to do if you really don't want to hike. Mm-hmm. And you get the full view of the mountain, and you can see some of the glaciers coming down it. Mm-hmm. An older woman gave some different advice.
She's like 70. Like, oh yeah, you can do this and this and this. She directed us up the burrows,
first burrow.
To the first burrow, past Frozen Lake.
There's a higher path. So if you go out the lodge and then you go to the restrooms, and after the restrooms you turn left before you get to the gift shop, there's a path that goes straight up the hill, mm-hmm. to slanting back towards the left, you know, along the ridge to Frozen Lake. And you get a nice view of the whole northeastern countryside.
Yeah, the cloud, or above the clouds, and mountains and rivers.
You're
and
looking
valleys.
Down on the clouds, on the mountains, in the distance. It was something. And Tracy did a good job, because Tracy actually hiked with the baby up to Frozen Lake. I was impressed.
I did. I was feeling it. A little bit.
You're ready to turn back at Frozen Lake.
Well, my concern was that it was a lot further than what it was, but it ended up not being as bad as I thought.
It really wasn't too much further from Frozen Lake to up to the first burrow. And I think
not
that...
really. That was worth it.
That was worth it. It's just the problem is I would... That trail coming down from the first burrow down to the meadow on the
that
south side...
is rated...
Strenuous.
Strenuous. And I would say, yes, it is. Dangerous.
It's dangerous because there's all these loose rocks, and I slipped like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah,
you were
scaring me. Yeah, it wasn't directly flat. It was like slates going at like 45 degree angles. You had to kind of like slide down.
I mean, if I wasn't carrying baby, it would have been fine.
Yeah, you kind of needed to hold on to the edge a little bit, which was rather difficult with the baby.
Yeah, my ankles were really feeling it at that point. But as you look down, there were several little lakes.
Yeah, those are beautiful. Glacier lakes, bright blue, green, light green.
Like bright colored.
Mm-hmm. Saw the glacier. I forget which glacier it was.
Yeah, and there was runoff of the glacier, and there was like a cave that was coming through the glacier.
Yeah, I wish you could go hike in that. Cool.
Yeah, we were kind of out of energy. You probably can hike down there.
Yeah, you probably can. It probably is crazy difficult to do.
Right. So we hiked down, and then we saw the little glacier overlook, which was kind of nice.
We did not see, the disappointment was not seeing any wildlife, which we were kind of hoping for.
Like nothing.
Nothing. I saw ground squirrels. We didn't see a marmot. I'm like, where are all the marmots gone?
Yeah, there wasn't a single
marmot.
They're
all at paradise.
There was like a bazillion bees, though. Like
bees.
Everywhere
we
walked, I heard buzzing.
That was a little
bit. They didn't have the diversity of flowers, but then again, it was a little bit later in the season.
Yeah, I think it was later in the season. There was some nice flowers, but not what we saw last time we went.
Yeah.
But the views of the mountain were great, which is what we were kind of hoping for, since we didn't see the mountain when we went to paradise last year.
Yeah, we had a clear sky. It was pretty ideal.
That's pretty ideal.
See
but
all the
I definitely would recommend
things.
A day trip there, since it's easy. It's not too hard to do.
There is a campground in the meadows, so you can actually, if you hike into the park, then you can camp
nice
right there.
Yeah, that was a nice
campground. And the little lake was kind of interesting. So we packed a lunch, and we hiked halfway, and then we had our lunch in the meadow, which was
I was nursing
nice.
Baby.
In the wild.
Yeah. Felt like a
pretty good.
Native American. Can't imagine.
Yeah, there was quite a bit of flowers, and it was a good trip. We hiked almost 6 miles, I think.
That was long.
Almost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then we headed home, and we still had time to do something when we got home.
That's
so,
right.
Highly recommend it. Got to do it, especially if you live in Seattle. It's a
yeah,
shame if you don't.
We hit up Paradise before the end of the year. We'll see if it happens. Some podcast yeah. about it if we do.
Yeah, we would like to. So, but anyways.
Moving on to this weekend.
Eh?
Don't you know?
You betcha. You betcha, eh? Oh, Canada.
My home away from home. Da, da, da,
da, da, da, da, da. Vancouver, BC. We learned it is actually smaller than Seattle.
We did learn that, according to Wikipedia.
Yeah.
I just always had this impression. I've been to Vancouver numerous times. I've just always had an impression that it was much bigger than it was. It's just my perception was kind of skewed from where.
We drove all over Creation last time, and I almost felt like it was like the size, not quite the size of Chicago, but kind of like closer to that size. Mm-hmm. But it's really not that big. Now that it.
No, you don't have those trip. As populous areas as Chicago does.
Yeah, I think it was just like the driving around made it feel larger.
Mm-hmm.
But like now that we actually walked most of it, I realize it's not. It's like the
yeah,
north side.
Yeah, we tried not to drive this time. We tried to stay downtown.
It's kind of like the area north, like River North up to Gold Coast and Lincoln Park. That would be kind of like Vancouver without the loop.
The downtown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That it's similar to that. So. It's one of the most livable cities.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah.
It's got great Asian food.
Yeah, we went to Richmond as well.
Richmond, where it's, what, 60% immigrants?
Almost 60% immigrant.
Large Asian population.
I think in Vancouver, didn't they say like 51% of the population has a non-English primary language?
Wouldn't surprise me.
It's probably either like Chinese or Mandarin or.
That's quite a few.
Cantonese or. Mostly Asians.
There's a lot of people moving in the area too. Muslims.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we took a little different approach since last time was so difficult because we did so much driving.
All
it was,
over, yeah.
We decided that we'll just stay in a hotel downtown, park there, and.
Walk
all over and. And just take it easy, and that's what we did, and it was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
We basically walked up and down the Robson Street, which is kind of like your Magnificent Mile main stretch with all your shopping
mm-hmm.
and
tons
restaurants. Yeah, and there's a museum off of there. So what is something different than other cities? Well, how do you describe Robson Street?
Robson Street? There's not too many cities that I mean, Toronto has some streets like it, but I don't think a lot of U.S. cities are like this, where you have so many different types of cuisines all, like, next door to each other,
mm-hmm.
and so many options. Usually your neighborhoods are like Chicago or New York, you have your Chinatown, you have your Little Italy, you have your Vietnam neighborhood, so everything's kind of segregated to your little neighborhoods, but Vancouver, I mean, Richmond, it's definitely, like, hardcore, like, Chinatown type of place, but the downtown has so much diversity in it, and they're all good restaurants. Like, a lot of times, like, downtown Chicago even, like, everything's high-priced and not necessarily that great right next to each other, but I felt here you could go, like, in one block and eat, like, 10 different types of cuisine that would all be decent.
We went into one Korean restaurant for dinner, and the guy was like, these are the entrees that Canadians like, and these are the ones that Koreans like.
I know, I was like, thanks. I've eaten Korean food before. I don't want hot dogs in my soup, but but I'll pick my own. Don't give me this white people food.
I mean, it wasn't insulting because, like, you know, that's true. That's probably what Canadians like, or in other words, white people. If I just assumed you're Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He was totally thrown off by us being there.
We're the only white people in there, and you could tell white people don't go in there very often. There's so many restaurants and so many Asians that you probably just don't see that many white people in some of those restaurants unless they're, like, really good. And this is, like, kind of a mediocre
place. Yeah, it was
place.
Okay.
So, baby had a hard time. She just did not want to be in restaurants.
No. She had a really hard time at the restaurants this time. Yeah. She was pretty, she liked walking around in the Bjorn.
Yeah, she loved it.
She loved it.
She was getting a little bit cold at times.
It was a little rainy, a little cold, but I liked it. It felt good.
Yeah. Yeah, when the sun came out, it'd get a little humid. But we walked up and down Robson Street at least 3 times, mm-hmm. majority of the center of the city, all the way up to
Denman,
the beach.
Oh, the beach, English Bay.
Yeah. So, yeah, nice if you walk area. Down Robson and then you walk up Denman, you get to English Bay and you have a great view of everything.
Yeah,
of
open water.
Mm-hmm. You can see all
Stanley
the big,
Park.
The big ships. Yeah. We walked down to that, like, lagoon pond that's by Stanley Park.
Yeah, the Lost Lagoon, I want
to
say.
If you were to stay on Robson Street until the end, it kind of hits this little, like, lake. But there's not a lot
False
to see
lagoon,
there.
Lagoon, maybe.
Yeah. So we also went to the museum.
We did, the Vancouver Art Museum.
Yeah, on Hornsby and Robson Street.
It's one of the biggest museums downtown, I want to say.
They were having an exhibit.
The title was Rembrandt, Vermeer, and Other Dutch Masters, which should have been titled One Rembrandt, One Vermeer, and Mostly Dutch Masters.
Totally. And a million people.
Yeah. They needed a captain. I don't know why everyone was there. It was crazy.
They said it was closing.
I felt like I was at the Louvre.
It was awful. It was $20 a pop.
Yeah, that was way
too
high.
So it was $40 for us to get in the door. And we couldn't even get near any of the paintings because there were so many people in there. Like,
yeah,
it was a serious fire hazard.
Yeah, I've never been in a museum like that before. Besides, like...
Which is not fun.
The Mona Lisa at the Louvre or something.
Yeah, but, like, the whole place was like
that. Yeah, the whole place was like that.
There's just not really good museums in Vancouver.
Well, yeah. I think it's more of an outdoor city.
Yeah.
We haven't checked out the aquarium yet there. We checked out the anthropology... Museum last time, which we're revamping, so we didn't get to see much of the stuff that they even had.
Yeah, that was mostly totem poles, but they had all their stuff was in these drawers, and you had to pull the drawers out to see all. It's mostly Native American artifacts.
Yeah, we weren't into that too much.
Yeah. I'm not really into, like, spiritual religions and natural religions and stuff. It's mm-hmm. too much, too
Natural
pagan.
Man, really... Which is the Olympic logo for next year.
Yeah, which is, like, five rocks stacked on top of each other. It's pretty...
It's kind of primitive.
It's something.
I'm not quite sure what they're going for.
It's like ancient man. I don't get it. And of course, we went over to Stanley Park
Stanley
on our
Park.
Way out.
I love Stanley Park. Sea wall. We saw quite a few large jellies washed ashore.
Yeah. So that seems like a pretty good way to go, is just kind of get a hotel downtown Vancouver and just kind of walk around.
I still want to do Gross Mountain, where you take the cable car up to the top.
Yeah.
Tram. And there's, like, grizzlies and stuff up there in captivity. It's expensive.
We could have done it.
Yeah, I would do it when baby's older, maybe.
Yeah,
She's a little hard this time.
She had a hard time at sunrise because the sun was on her.
And the suspension bridges we did last time, which were fun, but expensive as well.
The treetops probably are worth the $20.
Yeah, over the art museum.
In comparison, they're still pretty expensive, though. But that was kind of a novelty,
That's like a novelty thing.
But we did a lot of that other stuff last time. So this time was all about, like, just being downtown without driving.
So it was about soup dumplings?
It was a big time about soup dumplings. Because we also went to Richmond, which is not in the city. It's south of the city. It's its own city.
Yeah.
We went to soup dumplings twice.
We did.
So I didn't really know what to expect, because Tracy talks about soup dumplings all the time and always slurping as she talks about them. And it's not like a soup dumpling restaurant. That's what I thought it would be, like a dumpling house.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Shanghai-style dim sum place that makes one of their dishes are... It's like you got a noodle... I don't know... You got, like, a little piece of meat with soup wrapped in noodle into, like,
a dumpling.
But the soup is kind of hot, and you have a bowl and a spoon, and you use your chopsticks to take the dumpling out of the wicker steam basket, and you put it on your spoon inside your bowl, and then you try to eat the top of the dumpling first, one woman said. Or I don't know if it matters so much for the steam, because they have pan-fried ones
as well.
Oh,
that was the pan-fried ones. Yeah, those were hot.
The pan-fried ones, at least you bite those at the top. Anyways, you have to keep it in the spoon because it's so hot. The soup is usually super hot. You eat the soup and the dumplings. Some people are just putting it in their mouth, but you'd burn your mouth unless they were sitting there for a while.
Yeah, my mouth is burns. It's not too bad. It's like not as bad as pizza or anything.
Yeah. So how do you rate the dumpling places? The soup dumplings?
Well, the first one that I looked up, which seemed to be recommended by tons of people, which is kind of like hole in the wall, strip mall Chen's Shanghai, I think it was called.
C-H-E-N.
Which did not have an English menu when we sat down, which was a good sign.
Yeah, excellent sign.
And had a little glass window with two women making dumplings. And it was really inexpensive for quality. It was great. I would give that one 5 out of 5.
It was excellent. I loved it.
Okay, the soup dumplings there were awesome. I give them some of the best soup dumplings I've had. They didn't break open before you get them to your spoon, which if you have really bad soup dumplings,
and they had a lot of soup in them, which made a big difference.
They had a lot of soup. They were juicy. Their skin was really thin. It's really an art to making soup dumplings. I saw a special with, what's that guy's name? I always forget his name. Anyway, the chef, who's famous, and I can't remember his name, but...
What show?
It's not Bobby Flay, but it's someone of Bobby Flay's caliber, but I can't remember his name. Anyway, was going to the soup dumpling places, and then he made soup dumplings at his restaurant. But he showed it where you would take an ice cube of the soup broth and put it in the dumpling with the meat. And then when you steam it, obviously it would melt and fill a dumpling with liquid soup.
Yeah.
Which I think is how they do it everywhere, but I'm not 100% sure, because that was like an Americanized style of it. So I'm kind of interested. I'm going to look it up online again just to research a little bit more. Not that I'm ever going to make it, because they're so cheap, but you can't get them anywhere around here. I think San Francisco maybe you could. I don't know. I think you have to go to New York City or Vancouver or Toronto or somewhere. It has a high Asian population, or Shanghai, obviously.
Yeah. Tracy and I love dumplings. Mm-hmm. One of our favorite places were introduced to us by a friend, Mike and Carrie, who said, why don't you come with us to the Fu Man
Dumpling House?
Dumpling House, north of Seattle. Oh, man, I love that place.
I know. Their key there is their garlic sauce.
Yeah.
The garlic, even though you dive garlic for the next day, but their garlic sauce is so good with their dumplings. That's a quality dumpling house.
Yeah.
Those are good. The sauce there is really good. Not quite a soup dumpling, but it is still good. We also had ramen. We had Korean barbecue.
Yeah, we went to Benke's Ramen on Robson Street. There was three ramen places, and this one had the least rating of the three.
Yeah, we probably should have done the other one.
It had a nice little shop.
The atmosphere was lovely.
And what deceived me was there was a line of people outside the door before they had opened. Mm-hmm. It might have been one group with a couple other people.
I think so.
I remember there being a line in front of the other ramen places the last time we were there. And we were going to go to, it was like Kisari or something like that. Started with a K.
Kintaro.
Yeah. And that one had good ratings. Because the Samurai place downtown Seattle in Iwajimaya is really good.
It is really good.
I love that place. Mm-hmm. And this one was... Benke was just kind of disappointing, actually. The gyoza was good, I guess.
But the gyoza was good.
But the soup was kind of bland, you know?
It wasn't creamy enough.
The noodles weren't totally al dente.
Pork fat in there or something. And the noodles were not as great.
Yeah, they feel like choice. The packaged noodles rather than like the al dente
quality
noodles.
Samurai gives you much better options. I mean, it wasn't the worst ramen place we've ever been to, because we've been to some bad ones.
Yeah, it's not like you pack it.
No.
That you put in the microwave and dump stuff on. This was something they definitely cooked for hours.
It just didn't have that richness and extra. Chashu pork was pretty good, I thought they had on it, though.
If you ever get a chance to go to a ramen place, get the tonkatsu heavy.
Yeah, it was also called, what was it called here? It was called something else. It was like
Shiro.
Shiso or something.
Shio.
Shio. Shio.
S-H-I-O.
Which Shio. Might be another name for Oh, soup dumplings, by the way, are known also known as Bayulan Baos or Xilong Baos. They don't say soup dumpling on the menu, which is the deceiving part. You have to know it's just the regular dumpling.
Yeah, we went to Northern Delicacy today, and the dumpling didn't say anything about soup.
No.
It had a picture of it, and you could see they had soup in it, but like it just said dumplings.
Yeah, so you have to know what you're talking about.
And they had a huge menu, too.
Yeah.
But people were obviously ordering the soup dumplings, because I saw a lot of people eating them.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's why you go there. Northern Delicacy, I wasn't impressed by them.
No, it was in the Aberdeen Center, which is a huge Asian mall, which was pretty sweet. I could have spent a long time there, but
yeah.
Unfortunately, as we were driving out, I saw they had like a 2 or 3 story level Daiso type store, which is a Japanese yen.
We were only white store. People in that whole mall. It was amazing.
They had the Japanese toilet store, which I seriously, if we buy a house, I might go there.
It was like Lotus or something it was called.
Lotus, I have a picture. You can buy Japanese toilets for your house.
It's awesome. It's like massaging toilet.
A massage toilet, different levels of flow, music,
rainbow
lights,
waterfall toilet,
DJ systems, and I mean, heated seats. Heated seat is really the draw of the Japanese toilet for me.
Yeah. We gotta get
that
through customs.
So that place is pretty sweet. We had a cream puffs, which we can get in here at Wajimaya, but I love cream puffs. The Beards, Beardsley's, White Beards. I can't remember. It has this little semen logo. Saint Germain is also combined with it usually.
Yeah, we did get the Eclair, another cream puff in the food court. There was a bunch of other places that, you know.
Yeah, it would have been nice to eat there a little more, but we have babies, so we can't do as much exploratory.
Baby's been pretty good.
Baby's great. I love baby.
Yeah, baby's a lot of fun. She liked the trip. She liked walking around
like
and looking.
She liked the hotel. She liked the giant king-size bed. She loved swimming. We took her to the pool.
Oh, we did take her swimming.
Wyatt got
to
go swimming with her finally. Our pool was overlooking the ocean and the mountains, which is nice. Although the picture looked a lot nicer than the actual place, but that's fine.
Well, doesn't it always?
It's better when the place looks better than the picture. Like that one time at Portland, when we got there, I was like, whoa, this looks so much better than their pictures.
That never happens,
though. Never happens. They had done a remodel, a renovation, and they hadn't updated their pictures online, so it looked like we were going to this 1970s hotel, and it ended up being, like, decently posh.
What hotel is that? It was right off the tram. It was called the Max, and right by that big mall with the skating rink.
I think it was a Doubletree, because they gave us the warm cookies when we got there.
Oh, right. It was a Doubletree. The cookies, man. That's how we remember the name.
Yeah, Doubletree gives out good cookies.
Tracy finds all the hotel. That's why I don't remember.
I would definitely recommend that hotel again. It was only like $40 a night or something crazy.
You were stressed out about it ahead of time.
I was stressed out because the pictures online looked so bad, and then in the neighborhood was kind of sketchy a little bit. But
the Max is free, and we took it right downtown. Yeah. It was so easy. That's when I got my MacBook.
See, we could take the baby on the Max, couldn't we? If we went there?
Heck yeah.
Yeah, that would work.
I wouldn't mind even staying at that hotel again.
I know.
We've been all over Portland. We went over there for Memorial Day. We haven't been to Lake Oswego yet, just because we don't have a yacht.
No.
And it's kind of far. It's like
It's kind of far. I kind of like downtown Portland and neighboring.
We did the whole Hillsboro trip last time. Check out over by Intel and see what that'd be like to live there.
I think we did a podcast, so they're probably familiar with it.
Yeah, you can go check that out. So we had a good time. One tip that we learned is when the border sign says 2 hour wait, it's 2 hour wait.
Not this time, the time before we learned that.
Yeah. Well, this time, I think the timings were pretty much right for both times that we crossed. There are several crossings into Canada from Seattle. There are two in Blaine. One is on the I-5, which everybody takes. And the busiest time is during the day, apparently. I saw a little graph between 9 and 5. It's like a bell curve where the worst time is around lunch, which is true because as we were driving up, the warning sign said 5-minute wait at Peace Arch in Blaine. And then when we got closer, it was like 9:30. Then it was already up to 20 minutes, and it took about that long.
Yeah, probably.
But there's a truck crossing lane that you can take that really is just right off the freeway.
Yeah, it's
you
like
just
a
take
mile
the one
off.
Exit, and then you jog back on 8th Street, and you're on your way again. And It was 5 minutes faster, but we didn't take it because we figured 5 minutes was in
no,
worth the
detour. No, that time wasn't worth it, but the second time.
Yeah.
30 minutes we saved by doing that.
At least, because it said the Peace Arch was an hour wait on the I-5, so we jotted off the freeway over to the truck crossing and got through in like 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm. That wasn't bad.
So that's like 4 hours of our, 40 minutes of our life that we've vindicated. Because last time we got stuck for 2 hours at the border. It was awful. There's another one you can cross at like Linden, but that's like a half an hour detour to get there.
Oh, really?
So like if the borders were like horrible, then you could go do that.
Yeah, I guess so.
I guess some people cross Linden often just to avoid the whole five debacle. They must have built up the truck lane crossing just so that they could reduce the traffic, because signs seem to like encourage you, like, go this way, it's easy, it's not hard, it's easy.
Mm-hmm.
Go this way.
Yeah, I think people just don't know how
easy it is. It's a lot easier than you realize. It's almost hard to miss.
Right.
You know, there was one place you could have turned wrong, but obviously you would have been in the wrong spot and you would have turned around right mm-hmm. away and gone down the next light. So anyways, we hauled down to Bellingham. We were home in a couple hours, and
yeah,
we had a great trip, Vancouver.
2009.
Yeah. Anything interesting about Canada? You went to Winters. Canada. Winters.
Yeah, Winters was not a winner this time because the exchange rate's not that great. I was hoping to find a cheap like Canadian onesie or something for baby.
What is Winners?
Winners is like TJ Maxx of Canada.
Yeah, Marshalls.
Ross. Which I've had a lot of luck at before shopping in Canada when I had my stint in Calgary for a month. But this time, like back then, it was the exchange rate was like a lot better. It was like $1 to 70 cents. But now it's almost equal, so didn't find too much at Winners.
Yeah.
If you want to buy a Canadian onesie for yourself or your baby, you have to get it downtown at the Canadian store. I'm sure you can get other gift stores, but downtown there's all the Canadian little gift stores.
I didn't see any pigs with the maple leaf on them. Because I was reading your blog and you had a picture of a pig with maple leaf on it. I was looking for one of those whole time.
That pig was like shabby, man. That was a big pig.
Shabby.
We already talked about Shabby in the Jackson podcast.
The prize-winning pig in Tracy's family.
Mm-hmm.
You are from Iowa, after all.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, I think that will wrap it up for today.
Yeah, we better wrap it up.
Any closing comments, eh?
Look for a future podcast by us.
Yeah. Well, we're going to do one in Paradise afterwards, I think.
Yeah, hopefully.
So, you betcha.
You betcha.
We'll see you next time, eh?
Wait, what do they say in Canada? Auf Wiedersehen?
Well, it's French, so it's probably au revoir.
Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Hors d'oeuvres.
You know what? There's two cities that are larger than Vancouver in Canada. You know what they are?
Montreal and Toronto.
Montreal took it a second. What's the next biggest one after...
Probably Ottawa, Edmonton.
Edmonton and Calgary.
Oh, Calgary. I forgot about Calgary.
Probably the next biggest, I think.
My second home.
Edmonton covers like a humongous area.
I like Calgary.
All the Olympic stuff was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we should just end it by talking about the Olympic stuff really quickly.
Oh, I thought
because we didn't go to Whistler. We thought about going. It's 2 hours north to Whistler.
Right. We'll do it sometime.
Yeah.
You got your snowboard now, so you can go snowboarding and I can hang out at the lodge.
Yeah, that would be fun. There's also, we saw a map of where all the torch is going to all the places in Canada.
It's crazy, man. It's going to be so cold when they do that. It's going to be the dead of winter.
I don't know how they're going to do it. They're going all the way up into the Hudson Bay and
to go through every province of Canada or something.
Almost up to Anwar, pretty much.
Anwar. We got our giant picture taken next to the Vancouver timer. It was 160 days until the Olympics.
159 days, the second day.
That's right.
And counting.
So all the Vancouver swag.
Yeah, we pretty much wanted to go this year because next year is probably going to be like $1,000 for a hotel.
Yeah. I'm not going to go to the Olympics probably. Must have get some tickets in our lap or something.
Yeah. Well, we'll see you pretty soon when we talk about Paradise or if something else comes up. Until next time, this is Wyatt and Tracy and Zariah sleeping in the background on the monitor.
Yay.
See you next time, eh?